This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music. Music.
Music. Now we got Wade Hayes.
Hey, Wade.
Hello.
How's it going, Wade?
I'm really, really good. And
it's an honor to have you. I mean, what a career. I look back, like even on YouTube, right? Some of the songs, like 7 million views, 5 million views. Wow. You know, go back to that time a little bit. Was that like a whirlwind when these songs are just becoming hits? And
I was just doing an interview today, and it's good to remember these things. You get tied up in everyday living, and you forget what an incredible time that was. And I was reliving it all on this interview today. I got to preface this with, I was a very guarded, sheltered fella from a very, very small town in the middle of Oklahoma. I had left the state of Oklahoma probably about 3 times in my entire life, and that was just to Texas. I had never flown on an airplane. I had never done anything. And then all of a sudden, I'm hearing myself on the radio all over the United States and flying nearly every day, doing promotions and seeing the world for the first time. And it was just almost too much to digest at the time. It was incredible. The best time of my life. Incredible.
Now, we had Rick Lang on earlier, and you know, him being bluegrass and gospel.
Yeah.
It seems like you got inspired after seeing Ricky Skaggs, right?
That is a fact. I like to share that story as well, and I appreciate you bringing it up. When I was a young man in Oklahoma, and I'd been through 4 years, I think, of college and just scraping by and not even wanting to be there in the first place. And I was paying for it out of pocket and then getting loans and had a couple of scholarships, and it was just a drag. And I knew I didn't want, and I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, being a young man that age is very, very difficult. It was a tough time. It is for all young men, I assume, but had no idea what to do. And I knew that I loved to play music and wanted to do that, but I was afraid to. And then I saw Ricky Skaggs on the CMA Awards 1 year. And he said these words, I'll never forget. It changed my life. He said, all you young artists or musicians out there that are struggling, you need to stick with it because that's what you're called to do. And I felt like he was speaking to me directly because I had been praying for guidance and just, I had my eyes and ears wide open, and I felt he was speaking to me. And I literally started making preparations the next day to move to Nashville.
Wow.
That is a true story. And it changed my life. You know,
was there ever a point when, you know, you said you came from this small town, never really left town, then everything explodes. Did it ever become overwhelming for you? Where you're like, oh my God, what did I wish for here?
It absolutely did. And looking back on it, I was too young for that and too inexperienced and too naive to have all of that all at once. It was too much. And I wish I would have been a little older in hindsight, although I wanted it desperately. I wanted it as bad as I wanted my next breath. And that's a fact. But in hindsight, I see that I was too young and too naive and not nearly intelligent enough to handle all of that stuff. You know, it was just a lack of experience and just being sheltered in that small town, which was a good thing. You know, I was spared a lot of things being in that wonderful community I grew up in. But, you don't know the world. And I wish that I would have been a little wiser, I should say, maybe not more intelligent, but more wise.
In what way were you more naive, would you say?
Honestly, I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't know how to properly speak to people. I had never been exposed to the business end of it, which was the most difficult part for me. And I had not spent nearly enough time writing songs. And, I wish that I'd had more time in all of that. And moving to Nashville and getting exposed to, people from all over the world, and definitely from all over the United States. I've never been exposed to that before. And realizing that not everybody thinks like you do, you know, the people from your small town, and it was a lot to digest.
Do you, so you said you're naive, but did you make it through without really too much damage from like the administrative perspective? I once had somebody who did, you know, kind of go through a rough spot with bad contracts and whatnot, tell me that the lesson he learned was you needed lawyers for your accountants and accountants for your lawyers.
That's a fact. And obviously I still get to write songs and play guitar for a living. And for that, I'm very, very thankful. I'm very grateful. But having said that, I also see where I made some decisions with my lack of understanding how business worked, lack of understanding how business relationships worked, that were detrimental. And I'm just being completely candid with you. And that, you know, I certainly would have benefited from being around the business a lot longer, or a little longer than I was.
Wow. Yeah, but is there any way to, it seems like this, the industry is almost like the school of hard knocks. Because if you really, if you went into it wiser, would you have really even done it in the first place?
Well, yeah, I think that's a great point. Well, you know, honestly, I think people that are, when Ricky Skaggs mentioned that's what you're called to do, I've heard it said, you know, this business I didn't choose this business, it chose me. And you literally feel like that. You know, you feel like it's you. You write songs. It's not just what you do, it's who you are. You write songs and you play music and you try to make people happy. And it's not your job, it's who you are.
Did you ever get to play with Ricky?
Many times. Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten to speak with him about this several times, and he's always been so really, really, really wonderful to me. And a couple of years ago, I went out to his place and we picked guitars, and I actually bought an amplifier from him that I've been wanting. And he was nice enough to come down on his price to something I could afford.
Which amp?
It was a vintage amplifier that was kind of coveted. And I really wanted it, especially because it was his, you know, and he had been playing this amplifier on the road for a while. So, but he's been very, very good to me.
Which, what's the amp?
It is a 1965 Pro Reverb, all original.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pre-CBS, all original. And it's looks brand new.
You're talking to a gearhead here, Wayne.
Yeah. I've got that's a 59 GA18T
Bragger
right behind. Right. Well, no, it's pure luck. I walked into we'll get into the long story, but walked into a pawn shop. I kid you not. As I'm standing there talking to the owner, this older man walks in and just says, you know, do you want to buy this to the owner? And I said, well, I'll buy it for me. And I just gave him a cash offer right then and there. And he looked at the owner and the owner said, yeah, knock yourself out. If you want to sell it to him, go for it.
Wow.
And boom.
Well, that is a luck story right there.
Right place, right time.
That's exactly right. That's the way life is, though. But yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, getting into your project here, first of all, what I wanted to ask you before I get into this. So basically, old country still rocks.
Yeah.
Really like a tip of the cap to the music that you loved.
It right? certainly is. Yeah, that's a song that I had written, and when I got it finished, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I'd been wanting to do a cover record for a while, and this didn't even scratch the surface of the songs that I wanted to record. But I thought this was an interesting mixture of some obscure songs and then some songs that people would know a little bit better, hopefully. And it was a fine line. All of these songs they're not just songs I listen to. They have a meaning to me. And like I said, a couple are more obscure and a couple are really well known. But the song Old Country Still Rocks, it's just, you know, me saying that this music is still relevant. It still sounds good. And, you know, I'm showing people that old country does indeed still rock with this, you know, the songs that I chose.
Well, look at the icons that we still got going on here, like Willie Nelson's still out there. Thing Dolly Parton,
Yeah. Like
putting out a rock album.
How crazy is that?
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So old country still rocks is the truth.
It certainly is. Yeah, there are some really, really good, well-written songs out there that will stand the test of time. And what we've seen in Nashville all over the United States is this huge resurgence of 90s country. And it is, yeah, we have been busier. The guys from that era have been busier than we have been in years. And it's insane. And we're thankful. We're having a blast. Yep. So people, you know, the kids grew up listening to this in their old man's truck, you know, riding down the road, and they're enjoying it. And it takes them back. It's nostalgic, but their folks are still into it too and wanting to get out and listen. So it's been a great resurgence for all of us.
You know, what's interesting about that, Wade, is yeah, there's a resurgence for the artists from the 90s, but you know, we listen to a lot of the younger artists that are coming out, and there's absolutely a 90s country sound being some produced. Some of them. But you know, Don and Stormy and I, you know, we run into it and it's like, wow, here's another one. It's got that 90s sound happening.
Yeah, yeah. And they, you know, the kids that they're making records now, a lot of them, that's what they were into, you know. And of course, you're going to make, when I first came out, I was trying to emulate my idols a little bit, but still do my own thing. And I was really into Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Gary Stewart, Gene Watson, Merle Haggard, of course. Those were my guys. That was my most influential group of guys right there. And I was trying to emulate them a little bit, but still do my own thing. And that's what the guys today are doing. And there are some very, very talented young folks out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We have a follower on the TikTok. His handle is that one dude nobody follows. There he is. He's been very active. And his statement was that the old country is country.
Well, yeah. So there's that. But, you know, I look at it like the 90s was kind of the perfect storm of lyricists, songwriters.
And harmonies.
And musicianship. These guys all collided in Nashville at the same time, made these incredible, incredible records that still stand up today.
We were talking to Dwayne Propes last week from Little Texas, and we got on the subject about the 90s, and I'd said, you know, for me, it really does feel like there was a sound happening in the 90s, very, very unique, and he agreed. And I asked him why he thought that was. He said he felt maybe because we were able to expand beyond, what did he say, 36 channels? the technology was there to go.
Well, there is that, but I think more than anything, it was a mix going on, but I think there were just a handful of really, really good musicians that collided with some really good songwriters at that time. And there were just a handful of guys playing on everybody's records at that time. And they were really, really good. So it created a sound for sure.
Yeah.
You know, one song that I want to talk about here, you know, it's interesting how country, R&B and honky tonk collided on one song. And I love that you covered it, Slow Hand, right?
Oh, everyone, yes.
In the country world, everyone thought it was Conway Twitty.
Yeah.
It was really the Pointer Sister.
It's the Pointer Sister. Conway was covering the Pointer Sister.
Right. But absolutely. A lot of people in the country world would think that it was a Conway Twitty.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm glad that you knew that. Most people do not know that.
Well, I love the Pointer Sisters.
Yeah, they were great.
Oh, they had some great songs. And Slow Hand is a beautiful song. I remember being on the radio constantly.
Yeah.
But then when Conway's came out, and it really, you know, when I ever hear like the Conway version or like it reminded me of like Johnny Lee and Urban Cowboy, you know, that whole.
Oh, yeah.
That whole sound was
everything
from Urban Cowboy created a sound.
I agree. That Urban Cowboy was big business.
Oh, it was. It changed everything. Urban Cowboy was, I think, responsible for taking people that only listened to like disco or pop.
Yeah.
Moved them into country. Because my mom loved John Travolta.
Yeah.
And as soon as she saw Urban Cowboy, we had Johnny Lee in the house and we had
absolutely right.
Charlie Daniels. It was like, where did this come from?
Absolutely right. And it's funny that you'd bring up Johnny Lee specifically. You know, I covered a Johnny Lee tune on this record And it has really, really special meaning to me. But Johnny Lee was my very first job when I moved to Nashville. I played lead guitar for him for a couple of years. He's still a very good friend of mine, and we still talk regularly. And he was a very good mentor to me. He was ornery as hell, but he had a heart of gold. And he sure watched out for a very, like I'd mentioned, naive country boy. I mean, seriously, kept me out of some business dealings that would have really, really ruined me. But he watched out for me and protected me. And I still am thankful to him to this day.
Is that One in a Million?
Yeah. Yeah. That song was a hit. It was a number one for Johnny Lee. But the guy that I wrote all the first hits with is a guy named Chick Raines. And he's a guy that discovered me and brought me to the game here in Nashville.
Right.
And Chick wrote that song One in a Million that Johnny Lee had the hit on. So, and Chick was my other mentor when I moved here. He was like my dad, my Nashville dad. And so that song in particular is very, very special to me. And I'm glad that you picked up on the Johnny Lee vibe on that.
Well, Johnny Lee was just a symbol. Like, obviously it was Looking for Love, right?
Yeah.
That song just, my mom bought the 45.
Sure.
And we had the Urban Cowboy album. Urban Cowboy was so thing that my mom went and bought me Urban Chipmunk. Chipmunk's version. Urban Cowboy. Yeah, that's it was all the Urban Cowboy songs done with chipmunk voices.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Looking back, Texas.
I'm glad I don't remember that.
And they had a Christmas one too.
They had a Christmas one too, yeah.
They did.
That's fantastic.
But anyway, so what I wanted to do is I wanted to play your version of Slow Hand for everybody.
Yeah.
We got a big, nice crowd on TikTok and a lot of people watching. And
great.
That's one of the things we love to do is to feature the songs on here.
This is about my favorite song on the record. I think all things considered, this is my favorite cover song.
Slow Hand?
Yes.
And again, Conway was just such a unique voice. And I think you can deliver, if anybody can deliver, you know, Conway vibe, but also paying homage to the Pointer Sisters, it's you. No,
that
seriously.
Low-end country.
Yes.
Voice. Hey, that means the world to me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. I'll leave my hat out. You can put money in it on the way out. I'm just kidding. All right. So I'm going to hit mute on us here so the echo doesn't happen. Let me make sure I got the song queued up here that I want to play here. This is Slow Hand. I have it on the wrong screen. Hold on a second. Let me get back to this. Slow Hand. Let me pull it up here. Make sure I got this right. So again, this is a cover. Now again, I said, you know, the Pointer Sisters were one version. Conway then turned around, he did a version. Now we got the Wade Hayes version of Slow Hand. We're gonna listen to that right now. Let me make sure I got this queued up. And there it is, Slow Hand. And you know, one day we'll have an engineer and then I can just sit here and listen. All right, here we go. Got that voice. You hear that, everybody?
Totally.
Stormy.
Ellie on TikTok says that tone is money.
I
Oh, wait, he's still on mute. I'm sorry, Wade. Hold on a minute. Back up. You don't have to repeat what you just said. I had you on mute for a second. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. That was one of the most fun cuts that we did. We had a blast making this recording, and there's just a couple of us playing on that, and the steel guitar, I think, really, I heard it in my head that way, and it would set it apart from the other versions, but still be the song, still be Slow Hand, but that would set it apart a bit, and it really turned out like I'd hoped it would, you know, musically.
It did. I mean, it's such a tip of the cap to Conway.
Oh, he was great.
His version.
What a great voice.
Oh, yeah. Well, yours is dynamite.
Oh, thank you.
Great memories for me attached to that song too. So,
oh, good.
I'm here, this little girl, with Conway's version in the truck with my grandpa going to the racetrack, listening to it. That's why I'm like, I'm getting all excited to hear it. I'm like,
I love it.
Doing it all the way towards Whitty. Yeah,
I love it. It has a lot of memories for me too. I played that tune a million times with my dad. I played guitar for him. We had a little band we played in Oklahoma when I was growing up, and we did that song a million times together. So it was really cool to get to do it here.
Plus, Dean, were you about to say something?
I was gonna echo Stormy's comments. Yes, as soon as the song started playing, I started just getting a rush of memories.
Isn't that amazing?
How music
can do that. It's a big, important part of our lives.
It is.
Well, immediately I started seeing sawdusted floors.
Oh, yeah.
Two-stepping around the hall. That's immediately in my head. That's what I put people doing their line dancing.
Oh, we loved it. That's how I grew up right there, my friend.
You ever ride the mechanical bull?
I actually attempted to ride the mechanical bull. I wouldn't say I rode it.
How long did you last? 2 seconds? 2 seconds.
Maybe. If I was
lucky. You never tried a real bull then, I guess.
No. I've tried to ride a steer when I was a kid, and I didn't get too far with that either. But I always, we always had that. I grew up in a very rural setting. Always had pigs, chickens, cows. In fact, we raise beef cattle here in Tennessee now as a hobby. I do. We've got a little farm east of Nashville, so I still mess around with it.
Look at you. You're like a real cowboy.
I am not. I'm a country boy. I'm not tough enough to be a real cowboy, my friend. Yes, sir.
So, check this out, Don. That one dude nobody follows said he went to high school with Kevin Twitty, who I guess is a relative of Conway's.
So no way.
He said he listened to a lot of Twitty growing up.
Wow. Well, he made some great records.
Yep.
Kevin and Conway. That's awesome. Didn't he have Twitty City or something like that?
Yeah, there's Twitty City, isn't there?
It was like an amusement park, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was. It was this whole thing, and now the location is still there, and now they shoot a lot of TV shows out there.
Oh, that's interesting.
The Governor Huckabee's show is shot there now.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah, this is a whole big kind of a campus.
Well, let's do this. Since we talked about it too, I'd be remiss if we didn't, with a few minutes left, to talk about play One in a Million for everybody.
I'd love it. Yeah.
Because that song meant a lot to you. I think it'd be great for everyone to hear it. So I'm going to hit mute again. This is One in a Million. And if, Ellie, if you liked his voice there, wait to hear this. This is One in a Million. Here we go.
Sometimes it seems the world is a jungle. Through it all I was born to stumble, searching for something I never will find. I take your love in bits and pieces, coming to you only for your reasons, the lonely feeling that gets in my mind. When you treat me so kind, and those hard times come a dime a dozen, girls. We become one in a million. They're so hard to find. And those hard times come a dime a dozen. Girls with your kind of loving come one in a million. I'm lucky in mine. I know your friends don't think much of me. They say you're a fool to love me. But girl, I know they'll never turn you around. You're bound to love your hard luck folks. When I let you down, you don't show it. You know it don't matter. They can't touch what we found. When the sun goes down in those hard times come a dime a dozen. Girls with your kind of loving come one in a million. They're so hard to find. And those hard times come a dime a dozen. Girls with your kind of loving come one in a million.
It's just such a tip of the cap again to Johnny Lee. I mean, you'd swear Johnny was there with you.
I did a show with Johnny a few weeks ago in Branson, and we did his Farewell to Branson show. And I sang it for him there at the show, and he just loved it. It meant a lot to me for him to get to hear it. And it was a really, really cool moment. And I love that song. I appreciate you playing that. Thank you.
That one dude says he just added you to a Spotify.
Ellie
said it was like velvet.
Oh, man. That makes me feel great. I need to hear that. I appreciate it.
She said the only other artist in the genre that makes her melt like that is Zac Brown.
Well, all right.
Oh, wow. Melting people, Wade.
Hey.
What? One dude nobody follows likes. He says it didn't sound overly engineered, which is why he likes it.
Well, it's interesting you would say that, because we kind of go out of our way to make it natural and not overly produced, and we don't fix a lot of the mistakes. It's just me, and we're doing what we do, and it's natural sounding. And I appreciate you noticing that. Thank you.
Did anybody else get Clint Black vibes?
I'm sorry? Oh, Clint Black vibes? Yeah. Clint Black, yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite a compliment, and thank you. I'm a huge fan of that, guys. We got a show coming up with him in January. I'm very excited about that.
Nice.
Who's a duet that you'd love to do? Like, if you had the opportunity, living or not with us anymore, what would be a dream duet for you?
There are so many that I loved so much. I love Willie Nelson. I loved Waylon and Merle. I love Patti Loveless. Now that would be, she did a song with me, and I covered one of her tunes on this record, but I've never gotten to do an actual duet with her. She sang on my very first album.
She did?
Yeah.
What song? I'm going to pull it up.
Kentucky Bluebird on my very
first album. Kentucky Bluebird, and she's backing vocals on it?
She's singing harmony on that.
No way.
If you listen close, you can tell it's her.
Oh, yeah. We got to pull this up. Anyone want to get a little overtime here with Wade?
Yes. I love it. I appreciate it.
Kentucky Bluebird?
And this is still one of our most requested tunes every night. So,
all right, so just close your eyes, and you're going to see a really young-looking Wade Hayes in this picture.
I miss that guy.
Wow. young Wade. You know, you're talking about what you were going through. Now, imagine this is a young man here trying to navigate Nashville.
Yeah.
When you see this picture.
Oh, yeah.
But Patti Loveless. So she wasn't in the studio. She was like one of those they brought her in.
Yeah, my producer, Don Cook, was friends with her and her husband and asked her to come in and sing because he knew I loved her so much. And we were all Keith Whitley fans. So he asked her to come in and help a young fledgling artist out on his first album, and she graciously did. And she
then he became a number. Then he became a number one artist.
Well, I was very fortunate.
Yeah. All right, so let me do this. I want to play this for everybody. So we're in a little overtime here, but it's worth it. This is Kentucky Bluebird, and just close your eyes and you'll hear Patty Loves Us in here. Look at that young Wade Hayes right here. Look at that. All right, here we go.
When I'll see,
let me skip ahead a little bit.
Kentucky Bluebird, I heard your song today. But when I try to touch you, you fly away. Wow. Blue's a feeling I'm learning so well. Turn on the TV in another hotel. Turn down the volume and stare at the wall. God, I wish you would call. Kentucky Bluebird, I heard your song today. When I try and touch you, you fly away.
Wow. I mean, come on, people. That is Wade. Hey, do you remember that guy? That picture? Do you
remember? Oh, yeah. I miss that guy.
Well, you got some, you've got some people over here on TikTok saying they want to hear you with Alison Krauss.
Oh, I love that. That. Big fun. Allison fan. Big Allison fan. She's fantastic. What a talented lady.
Let's get Allison's people to call.
She's got some potential. She's got some potential.
She sticks with it. She might do something.
She might do something with Robert Plant one day.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I know, right?
I saw them, both of those guys stroll into Guitar Center here in Nashville one day, and it was bizarre. Ooh.
What, Robert Plant?
Yeah. And Allison.
And Allison walked into Guitar Center.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being the clerk there that day?
It's crazy. It's stuff like that happened all the time. Used to.
Like, that's Robert Plant.
Yeah.
Were you itching to like get a guitar and start playing Stairway to Heaven and just to see what the reaction would be?
Can you imagine? How funny. See, I'm not quick like that. I'm not quick witted enough to have done that, but that's hilarious.
I would have been froze. Like.
But what a beautiful harmony with you and Patty there. I mean, my God.
You can
tell
that's her.
And it's, you can really tell it's her when you know that it's her.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I think it needs to happen again. I think you need to do it in person. Get Patty. At Patty and Elsa, maybe you do an album of duets with great female legends. There you go.
That would be a
Loveless, Allison Krauss. We'll just get a whole list.
Some great singers. Great.
Lori Morgan.
We play with Lori quite a bit on these country music cruises that we do. She still sings great.
See that?
Yeah.
Oh, country music cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Do you love that? How much do you eat on one of those, man?
Way too much.
Yeah, I bet.
It's fantastic. You eat perfect food every day, every meal, and it's January, but you're warm and the sun's out. It's fantastic.
See, that's probably the one place you break the rule. I know as a performer, like if I was in a touring band, I would never eat like 6 hours before a show ever.
Yeah.
Because you just don't want a problem. I couldn't imagine.
You're right. I have that problem. I cannot eat before a thing. But believe me, buddy, I kill it when the show's over.
Yeah, I bet.
Yes, sir.
I bet. Well, Wade, it's an honor to have you here, man. It's great. Again, everyone goes out. He's got that cover album out.
Yeah.
Go get it. I mean, there's so many other great songs on here that we were talking about. Let me just real quick just say you did just go through the list here and then I'll let you go. I know we're a little bit over, but it starts with Old Country Still Rocks. Then you got Can't Break the Habit, which is a Merle Haggard song.
Yeah.
You've got Slow Hand that we talked about. Just to Satisfy You is a Waylon song, right?
Yes. Yes.
Then does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? Keith Whitley, right?
No, or that was
George Whitey Schaefer.
Yeah, that was a George Strait song.
George Strait.
Yeah, but Whitey Schaefer wrote that song. I'm a huge Whitey Schaefer fan. And he wrote that and many other hits. He wrote probably the best country music song ever. Of course, I'm blanking on the title now, but it's That's the Way Love Goes is about the finest country song ever written, I think. And
That's the Way
Love Goes. Many songs, and I'm a huge fan of his. So.
And then you did Keith Whitley, who everybody loves. Yes. I'm Over You.
Yeah. The
Milk Cow Blues.
It's a Bob Wills tune.
But Bob Wills?
Yeah. I love their version of it.
Milk Cow Blues. Yes, Milk Cow Blues. Obviously inspired by him working on the farm.
Yeah, it's been covered by everybody from Merle Haggard to George Strait to Aerosmith. So it's that song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, see that? Then we did One in a Million. Then you got Whiskey River, which is
Willie.
Toby Keith. Right?
No, it's a Willie song. Willie Nelson.
Oh, it's a Willie song, Whiskey River. Yeah. Then you got Here I Am, which is
Patty
Tony Arata, who wrote the dance for Garth Brooks.
Yeah, Tony Arata wrote that song, but it's a Patty Loveless had the hit on it.
You know, imagine being Tony Arata and you're playing a song at the Bluebird. You think no one's paying attention, and then Garth wants it, and then look what happens. It becomes
a statement. That's, you know? That was a fine piece of writing there. That guy's
kidding.
He's a nice man, too.
I'll Fly Away.
Yeah, that's an old hymn. Very old hymn. And we kind of did a fun up-tempo picking version of it. So it's a lot of fun to play.
So there it is, everybody. Go get it. Plus, go down the Wade Hayes rabbit hole of all his great songs from the past, too. I mean, they're
Is this available all formats, vinyl? We've got some folks asking if it's out there in vinyl.
I wish. We haven't done vinyl, but it's everything but that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wade, thanks, man. Thanks for...
Well, thank you. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. You're very nice, folks, and I appreciate you letting me come on your fine show. I enjoyed myself.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Tell your publicist how great we are. No,
I sure will.
Oh, they know.
I sure will.
I love them. They're great. Yeah, that's Craig, right? Craig Campbell?
Yep, Craig Campbell.
Craig's awesome.
So we love him.
There you go, everybody. Well, thanks, everyone, for watching. We went a little bit over, but we had a great time with you. We'll be back again next Tuesday, same time, 7 o'clock. Thank you, Wade.
Thank you. We'll see you.
Thank you. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Everyone, Merry Christmas. Good night, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Night.